Reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your watchman of the night skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Wake up, America! Welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live. I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. I hope you are traveling in your car, because you're going to need seat belts on for the next 2 weeks. My guest is Duncan O'Finion. You heard part one. Because of the sensitive material, I am going to put part two, which is tonight, and part three, which will be next week. I usually don't put the guests directly in line with each other, but the information I think is very important and needs to get out, and I think you guys need to hear it. So, this is going to be a very sensitive show, as well as next week as well. So again, I hope you are traveling in your car. If you are at home, you might want to find some seat belts to listen to what's going forth. I want to thank all of you for listening, and also for those of you that want to get a hold of me and you have questions, or maybe you just have a statement or something you saw or you want to pass information. UFOshow@msn.com. That's UFOshow@msn.com. Don't forget, there are always free downloads. You can download on UFOEncountersLive.com and download the show all week for free. That's always the show. And as you see, Travis had some problems airing on the internet and some of the other stations that pick up, so we re-aired Travis. And, of course, his information was very interesting as well. So tonight, without any further ado, my guest, Duncan O'Finion. Duncan, welcome back to UFO Encounters Live. How you doing, my friend?
Very good. It's my pleasure to be back.
All right. Part two. I just have to say, so far with UFO Encounters, you were the number one listened to show. So I guess people are very interested in your story. They're very interested in what is a super warrior and what is taking place and really what the future is going to be. I think most people are starting to look to the future, like what are we going to be seeing in the years to come? And so maybe within the next couple of shows that you do with me, we can kind of get to that, because you've done some training in your latter years and maybe you know where this is going. So let's pick up on the story with, you know, you're trained, you're basically your parents either sold you into this or at least signed you into this, and you had a fracture of your mind, very incredible amounts, major amounts of trauma to fracture your mind. Some of the kids died. Some of the kids made it. Obviously, you're one that made it. And now, at about 14 years of age, things are starting to really heat up. What does that mean? When you say at 14 years of age, things were starting to heat up, does that mean that they really started to put you into the system and start to work you?
Yeah, at 14 is when we believe that I was really began to be utilized in a lot of the heavy operations. One of the reasons I say that is we lived on a farm at that time, and we were just over a mile up a dirt road off a main road, so we were kind of isolated. And as I said, my dad was in the CIA, but at this time I was nowhere near aware of that fact.
Okay.
Well, one morning, it's about late April, it's a nice, cool, clear, it's a beautiful morning, and I have the tractor out because we're getting ready to start turning the ground for planting season. And I'm working on a tractor, and you know that chill you get when you know something's about to happen?
Yes.
And I look up and I see this big van coming up the road with a UHF antenna on the roof with Texas tags. And the guy gets out and he calls me by name. I've never seen this guy before that I could recall. And he wants to know where my dad is. And about that time, I see my dad coming down from the house. And this was the guy that he was involved in the CIA with.
Okay.
Now, I didn't know it at that time. Well, they went up to the house, and we're gone about a half hour or so. And the guy came back down, got in his van, and left. He didn't speak to me as he left. And my dad was just, oh, man, he was a bear to be around after that.
Mm-hmm.
And some things happened, and about 3 days later, something happened, and I was taken. They came and got me, however it was that they came and got me, and I was basically the next memory. True memory I have, I'm almost 18, and I'm going for my driver's license.
You're just getting your driver's license at 18?
Yeah.
So for those 4 years, from 14 to 18, did you see your parents, or you don't remember?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. And in 1974, thereabouts, is when the incident was supposed to have taken place in Cambodia, where myself and the 11 other children did what we did there. So the timeline fits. And in this part of my life, in these years, is where I actually have other people who have come forward that remember me being on different military bases.
Wow. So other MK Ultra people?
Not all. I had a ex-Navy guy contact me several years ago, and he told me that he remembered me being at Norfolk Station in Norfolk, Virginia, that I was there with a team in about 75, 76.
And so it in those years... how old were you in 75 or 76?
15 and 16.
So you're not even really old enough to drive yet, but yet you're going in special ops.
Exactly.
And in these special ops, you're not doing good things.
No. And everyone who says that a lot of these ex-military guys have came back and said, yeah, my God, I remember you being this base back in the 70s, early 80s, that kind of thing. That's even one of the comments they made. You were just a young punk kid.
So, and did you have strength at that time? Did you have knowledge? I mean, obviously they got you at a very young age, but would you say at 14, 15, 16 years old, you were superior, or you were at least to the same level as some of the Berets or Special Forces?
All of us were that were in these particular projects. We all were. Because we were augmented. We had implant technology put in us that made us stronger and faster.
And that technology is from what?
I would love to just say it's all mill lab. It's all military industrial complex technology. Is it extra? Some of it, at least some of it, extraterrestrial in origin? That's a real possibility.
Is it a real possibility, or is it something in your gut that says absolutely?
Well, there's definitely something in my gut that makes me want to believe it.
Okay. So you can do things that humans can't do.
Yeah. All of us could.
Okay. And that was at 14 years of age. Did you find that strengthen as you got older? Did you find it weaken? Or did you find it just be consistent?
Because as I got older, you naturally progress in strength as you get older.
Yeah.
So the stronger I got when the implants kicked in, it just increased it more.
Now, when we talk about these implants or this ET technology, and again, you're not necessarily admitting to that, but you're not denying that. Is it always running? So let's say a normal human being in a situation maybe couldn't move over a car if somebody was trapped. Could you, or would something have to trigger it to give you that extra strength?
Something normally had to trigger it. That's what the cranial implant was, a multifunction implant. It was used to remotely trigger all the other implants. The only implant that I have that I am sure of that was designed to run all the time was the tracking implant that I have.
So you have a tracking, so you could find anybody?
No, they could find me.
Oh, okay. So then, in other words, the tracking meaning they don't want to lose a multi-million-dollar project.
Exactly.
Okay.
But what happened is when I had the MRI, when it burnt out certain functions of the cranial implant, it caused a lot of problems.
Okay.
The other implants would kick in periodically, sometimes when I wanted them to, sometimes when I didn't want them to.
Okay.
And honestly, yeah, I and others are working on trying to find the trigger so that we can
pull it,
kick them in whenever I want them to.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with my special guest, Duncan O'Finney. UFO Encounters Live, my guest, Duncan O'Finney. Duncan, at 15 years of age, you're basically in a special ops. It looks like you have some chips implanted, some ET technology, maybe some military intelligence and whatever else that they wrap up and slam inside of you. What is the whole purpose here? Under national security, obviously, for me to interview you and you to release this information, there's two factors. And you and I both know this. We've talked about off air. One, the first factor is that this is totally fake and it's just for, publicity and yippee-yay. And both of us know that that's not true and the listeners know it too. So that means that it is the truth. And if it is the truth, they're highly watching you and me and most of the public. So they must want this information out. Why? What's getting ready to happen? Do you have any idea?
Well, you're right. They do want this information out. And even the government itself, or the shadow government, if you want to call it that, has a history of releasing information periodically to soften the blows, basically, of when the big stuff does come out.
Yeah.
Even TV shows are very good at that.
Yes.
And you're also dead on. There is something big that's ready to happen. I think we talked about this before. There is a major war going on that most of the common folk they don't have a clue about.
Yeah.
It does tie in with the war inside the intelligence community that began when Reagan was shot. Well, it actually began much earlier than that, but it began in full force. The lines were drawn after Reagan was shot in 1982. And it's a war of good versus evil, dark versus light, and then in the middle is a gray area, and we're right in the middle.
Now, is this war, would you consider this a war with human beings, or would you actually say that this is more of a spiritual war?
I would actually have to say it's both. The spirit world is very, very real.
Yes.
There are dark spirits. There are the life spirits. Some people like to call there's the white hats and the black hats.
Right.
They're But I don't know. I wear a black hat, but you know.
Yeah, but you really, you know what? I think I'm gonna quote this for you so you can use it later and say you didn't say it for yourself. I actually think, Duncan, you were trained to wear a black hat, but I think your heart says I'm a white hat.
Yeah, there's been a couple more of us that were the same way. One of the things that is difficult for a lot of people to understand is that when a lot of us started getting their memories back, and that in itself is a mystery to some of these people as to why we got our memories back. Each and every one of us has a suicide program.
Sure. As soon as you find out what's going on, boom, you got to go kill yourself.
And I can tell you right now, one of us took a 45 and put it to his head and blew his brains out last week.
Wow.
I was very saddened to hear that. And the news was brought to me by the guy's nephew, who is a colonel in the Army. He's a very good friend of mine. And we had a meeting scheduled, and he was going to turn over a lot of information to me, and he suicided.
Now, did he truly suicide, or was he murdered?
No, he suicided.
Okay.
There was no doubt. I asked the uncle that and the colonel that, and he confirmed, yeah, it was suicide.
Okay.
I myself went through that about many years ago when I started to remember. But a lot of us have gone through this, and why we haven't, why a select few of us has been able to stand and fight this thing and be at the point where we're at now, I think there's several reasons for that. I think it's because, as you just said, in our hearts, we know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we had things done to us. We were enhanced. But we make conscious decisions on what we're going to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
When I first found out, I knew a lot.
Let me interrupt you here, and we're going to come back on the next side here. My guest, Duncan O'Finion, and join us on the Half Mark.
Contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com and make contact.
Welcome back to the show, and again, my special guest, Duncan O'Finion. Duncan, at 15 years of age, would you say that they programmed you with breaking you down, traumatizing you, torturing you, everything else? Was this to build that personality so they could build themselves a personal assassin?
Yeah, exactly. At 6 to 7 years old, once the personality is split off, they have a totally clean slate.
Now, is this assassin set up for them, obviously them, to, you know, take out whoever they want to take out, and no blame would go to them? Is this correct?
Oh, yeah. They always have the plausible deniability option.
Kind of like you just went wacko, you lost your mind, you did this, if you were ever caught, of course.
Exactly.
And they would just deny you. Now, I wanted to talk about, you know, maybe I'm going putting the cart before the horse, but I remember you telling me about you were sent for George W. Bush. Can you talk about this?
Sure. It did happen, so... I was running my own business. What happened is I was running the pressure washing business, and I was traveling around the area a lot, you know, like 150 miles a day to do jobs, round trip, that kind of thing. Well, I was out on a job, and the next thing I remember, I traveled from Kentucky to Rockwall, Texas, and I'm in a super nice Mexican restaurant, and at this time I'm standing about 15 feet from someone that at that time I had no idea who he was. I'd never seen this man before.
Okay.
And he's sitting at the bar, he's drunk as a skunk, and he's surrounded by what I took at that time to be bodyguards. Of course, we know now they were Secret Service.
Okay.
And I had a loaded revolver in my left hand inside my jacket pocket. And what that tells me today, because at that time I really did not know. I had some inklings, some ideas, but I didn't know. Whoever personality was triggered, because the alternate personality is left-handed.
Okay.
That's why the gun was in the left hand.
Okay.
And when I snapped out of it, I was being drenched in my own sweat. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking, and I know what the orders are. My orders are terminate the target. And at that time, former President Bush Jr. was the target. And I broke down, and I ran. I ran out of the restaurant, wiped the gun down, tossed it in a trash can. The first person I met, I ran up to, and I said, you know, mister, where am I at? And this guy's looking at me like I'm stoned out or drunk or something. He says, you're in Rockwall, Texas, huh? And I'm like, well, I'm where? You know.
So had you driven there, flew there, or you just couldn't remember?
I drove there.
Okay.
And
so you found your truck?
No, I found my rental car.
Oh, your rental car. Okay.
I looked in my pocket. There were the keys to a rental car, a red convertible, a car I personally would never drive.
Okay.
And I got in the car, and I drove straight back all night to Kentucky. Went back to turn it in to these people, and when I put it back in, they're like going nuts because the car was never supposed to have been driven out of the state. It was a local rental.
Hmm.
They were out of business within a week.
Because of that event?
Because I think, I think because of that event. They were gone.
Now, do you think that was a failed mission and you failed it, or do you think that was a threat to the ex-president?
The ex-president was so drunk, I don't think he even realized what was going on.
Well, I guess another question I'd have is, how could you get in the same restaurant building with a loaded revolver when all these other agents are around? Usually their security is much tighter than that, wouldn't you say?
I would. What I saw was he was flanked, one on each side by security and one standing off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was snapping through, what was going on is the alternate was working the plan in his mind.
Okay.
On what to do. So he was actually, as he was moving forward, making the preparations.
The next question would be for me is, with Daddy Bush, you know, obviously George's father, being Trilateral Commission, huge Illuminati boy, incredibly high position Mason. Isn't that kind of scary, because he kind of runs that whole shadow government? So is that saying he's trying to get rid of his own son?
It does. But remember, Daddy Bush knows me.
Daddy Bush knows you.
He does.
So that's my point. If he knows you and you're there to take care of the ex-president, then it kind of says that he's there to take out his son. Would that
help? I can tell you this. These people have no problem taking out their own when they're not fulfilling what they're supposed to do.
When they're not fulfilling the dark side.
Exactly. They have no problem taking out their own.
Was that because Bush Jr. was such a mess up, or was he disobeying, or did you ever find out?
I never found out. I got out of there. I ran.
So did you pull the plug then?
Pardon?
Did part of your personality pull the plug? In other words, the white hat that's within you say no, and boom, and aborted the mission?
I think so. I think that's one part. But the other part that always keeps playing in my mind whenever I think about this is the fact that the two sides are fighting against each other.
Inside of you?
Inside of me, yes. You see, both sides, at that time, I know for certain, both sides had the ability to trigger me.
Okay.
So it's a very real possibility that one side, let's say Daddy Bush's side, who I know is the darkest side,
okay,
wanted this to happen. The other side did not want it to happen.
Now, when you say the other side
triggered me to get me there, and then the gray side, as it were,
yeah,
turned it off.
Now, when you say the other side, the good side, are you talking about a Christ side, or are you talking about another series of men that are trying to do good things? What would you mean by the other side?
Okay, this is a little hard to explain. There's more than one group out there. There are two groups in the intelligence community that are fighting against each other.
Okay.
I don't see either one of these sides as actually being all that good.
Okay.
There is a good side.
I mean, a real good side, like an actually integrity, purity side?
Yes.
That maybe doesn't have anything to do with necessarily Christ, but just a humanistic, real side that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And
then there's two more bad sides, or just one?
There's two bad sides.
Okay, so there's the dark side of the Bush side, which is shadow government, and then there's another dark side, maybe not quite as dark.
Maybe not quite as dark. The way we look at it, both sides want the same thing. They want total dominance. It's kind of like the two biggest families on the block fighting against each other.
Okay, so it's the Rockefellers and the Chases.
Exactly.
Okay, and I mean it's not necessarily,
exactly.
But in other words, there's two bad guys, and then there's one good guy. Correct.
Correct.
Plus we have the Luciferian actual spiritual side, and we have the Christ side, which is the good side of spiritual. So we have those two spiritual sides, and then we have three humanistic sides. Am I understanding this correctly?
Pretty good.
Okay. Okay. I just want to get this right. So you think you might have...
The scary part is we're right in the middle of this.
Right. So you have to kind of listen to what, you know, and this is where people, if they get dumbed down enough by their sports and sex, they can be on the dark daddy Bush side and go that direction and never know it hit them.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That is exactly right.
And then there's another side that where people are dark, but they're not super dark. So maybe they're going to go to this other side. And then, of course, the people that just say all of this is crap and they're going to try to go for the white side.
Exactly.
Now, this integrity side, does this have military in it as well and so on and so forth?
It does, but very little.
So it's a weaker side.
It's a weaker side. A weaker side in numbers, I would say, but I would also venture and say it's the strongest side spiritually.
Okay. Well, absolutely, because the Christ side is going to be on the weak, and he's going to empower the weak. I mean, we can see that in readings and scriptures.
Exactly.
So, wow, scary stuff. So you think that you were triggered by the white side, or do you think you don't know?
I don't know. All I can do is just go by my gut instincts. Okay.
Okay.
I think I was actually sent there on this assignment by the darker side.
Okay.
I would love to think that it was my own heart, my own soul
that pulled
that
you
broke
out.
Down in that restaurant,
yeah.
And I stopped myself.
Okay.
However, I think that, yeah, I do think that played a part.
Okay.
However, I do think one of the other sides also played a part.
Which you think is the white side?
Yeah, because they needed Junior to be in office for whatever nefarious reason.
Well, if we would have had Cheney, we would have been screwed.
Oh, if we had had Cheney, things would have happened too soon.
Oh, yeah, because he would have been much like Obama.
Yeah.
If not worse.
He would have been worse than Obama.
So, I understand. Does this frighten you to know where you've been trained and what you know? I mean, does it frighten you? Are you still in it?
I hope not. I hope not.
Does it take a car accident to trigger you guys that something has happened to you guys?
Not all of us, no. Well, my car accident was actually a staged accident. It was set up.
Okay.
To happen. The last time. Let me phrase it this way. The last bit of missing time that I am aware of happened about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it was roughly between 6 and 8 hours.
Wow. That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
And what do you think happened in that amount of time?
Honestly, I don't know. However... I can tie this in, is I've always known, and The old x-rays are on my website. They're not that great, but you can see the one implant in the left hand.
Okay.
I was contacted by True TV for the one episode that I did with them on this subject to try to send them some brand new high-res x-rays so they can show them on the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did that. I had them done. The x-rays now show three implants in the left hand.
And, of course, so, if the TV show is doing this, then, again, the shadow government or the shadow players, whatever we want to call them, they want this information out.
They do want this information out. I have been told that, in truth, by an impeccable source, that now is the time for certain specific information to be.
And this is
released.
The same. This is the same in the ET world as well. They want the information out on this as well.
They do.
So
they do.
This would pretty much line us up that something major is going to happen, maybe in 10.
Either in 10 or 11. Nothing. The thing with all of this is that nothing is written in stone. Things happen. Remember, this is a war. There's always setbacks in war.
Sure.
Things can't happen. So that's one of the reasons I tell everybody I don't put a time frame on anything.
No, but you can tell it's coming.
Yeah, and
it's like when the clouds are building for a storm. You see the dark clouds. You see, feel the wind changing, the cold.
Yeah, very true.
You don't know exactly what minute that's going to get there, but you know it's close.
Well, whichever side it is that built this fifth-generation soldier, they built them for a reason.
Do you think, okay, I'm going to close with this question. Do you think this new super soldier, which actually this new super soldier would probably surpass even your powers.
Absolutely.
Would you say this new super soldier is built? And again, if you don't know, that's fine. That it's built for this true Armageddon war. In other words, the war against God himself.
I honestly do believe that these are built for whatever is going to take place at this end time. I do, yes.
Because that war against the angelic, they would have to be super warriors, wouldn't they?
They would be.
My special guest, Duncan O'Finion, and we will return right after this break with the last conclusion of his interview. Be right back. Welcome back to the show, and again, my guest is Duncan O'Finion. Duncan, sometimes, you know, as we even speak off air, this stuff is so over the top that I even wonder sometimes that the listeners are just shaking their head going, this can't be true. You ever, as actually be the victim of all of this muck, do you ever go to yourself, think, I can't believe this is true? Does it ever shake you up?
Oh, it does. It does. One of the hardest things about doing this is every time we get an answer to one question, that answer raises 10 more questions.
Yeah, so you're always buried in paperwork.
We're always buried in trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and I don't like where all this is going.
I'm
going
to ask you a wild closer question because we'll have part three coming down the road here soon. But, you know, I always like to leave a little cliffhanger, and you may not have an answer for here, but I kind of sense you do. In your training, when you were training to be a super warrior and, you know, they were fracturing you and doing all kinds of stuff, were you ever involved in any kind of technology that had to do with time travel? I love you, brother. And you can take the fifth if you need to.
I've been taken out of time, yes.
Okay.
And
did they teach you, or was it just something they did?
It's something they did.
Okay, so they took you out of time. Were you future, or did you go past?
Past. And I've been through a gate.
Okay. Was it here in the States?
The gate here was.
Okay.
Where we gated to, I don't know.
Right.
All we found were dead bodies.
Wow. And it was in the past?
I don't know. Timeline on that, I do not know. I was taken as a youngster, young teenager, we were not allowed to wear any metal. We could have no metal on us whatsoever.
Okay.
So we could take no weapons, no bladed weapons, no nothing. And when we went through, what looked like it happened is that a team had gone in before us, and they were all killed.
Okay.
There were dead bodies everywhere.
Okay. So were you going in to see if they were dead, or were you going in to save them, or curious, or what was the mission?
Well, the team leader, I was not team leader on this one.
Okay.
And when we went in, we checked the area, and then we were told, get back through the other side.
So obviously there was a gate on the other end of this.
Yes.
So you went through that gate, boom, you came back.
Exactly.
Well, we'll go into more detail with a little bit of this and many more questions in your training. You definitely were trained in martial arts, and you have a lot of sight, a lot of different things. And so the third part will kind of close in on the exact training and really what were you trained for and why are you training others. So, Duncan, again, thanks for being my guest. I appreciate it so much.
It's been my pleasure.
I thank my guest, Duncan, for giving his time to be on radio. These men and women that come on and bare their souls get nothing. There is no financial gain. Duncan doesn't have 12 books in the background. There's nothing but telling the truth. So please know that. And a lot of you listening probably realize that this is a bit over the top. You're not going to hear this on most radio shows. And if you do, there should be some very funky music in the background because it's very non-believable. But when you dive into the truth and you research, you will find out, and a lot of you know this, the ones that are working for some of the government contractors, you know this is real. That's a lot of the times why there's so much silence. So again, it may sound like it's over the top, but if you research, you will find it to be true. And again, if you have comments and you would like to pass them my way, you can email me at ufoshow@msn.com. Again, a reminder, ufoshow@msn.com. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I surely did. I learned so much every time I interview someone. Next week, again, the last piece of Duncan O'Finion, the super warrior, trained, traumatized from childhood, finished up on the third segment, which will be airing next week. So join us. You don't want to miss any of it. It's time to bug out of here. So thank you so much and good night.
You've been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com.